Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Welcome back, everybody, to another amazing episode of Beyond the Front Lines. We're always elated to have you with us. My name is Jay Johnson, and I'm joined in studio, as always, by the one, the only, my dear friend and partner in crime, Miss Donna Hoffmeyer. Donna, what's happening, my friend?
Life. But I probably say the same thing every time, like chasing kids, trying to keep up. Like, we just, you know, we're in track and field now. We're out of basketball. We're out of football. We're out of powerlifting. We're on a track and field, both of them. So,
yeah. You got to think about which bag you're grabbing as you leave the garage, right?
Every day. And it's the same. Like, I feel like I'm just like this Groundhog's Day. I'm like, do you have your bag? Do you have your lunch? Do you have this? Do you have that? Do I have this? Do I have my stuff? Yeah. It's the do I mornings.
Well, kudos to you and Brian, though, right? Because you are engaged parents and you're taking it in. And I promise you, later in life, your kiddos are going to reflect back of being able to see you in the room, right? They're going to remember all the times you took them, dropped them off if you weren't able to stay. But nonetheless, you're active in their lives. And I think that's going to pay huge dividends.
I think the real kudos were doing it with minimal drinking. I think that's something to be...
Yeah. You sure that's water
I said minimal drinking. I didn't say no.
Oh, minimal. Got it. Yeah. Not at true school sponsored events, I can attest.
No.
He's a good steward, I know. So.
No. Yeah. Actually, Brady is at a track and field right now. He's got his first track and field, and Brian's up there now, and he's got the game face on. And yeah, so good luck to Brady. We're hoping he gets his 37 feet that he wants. So yeah. Well,
I'll keep him lifted in good thoughts.
What are you up to?
Look, life's busy. Today is a heavy day of coaching. 4 clients shoved in today between meetings, recording this podcast, and I think you know I was in Las Vegas last week, facilitated an all-day retreat for their business affairs division, and you know, no good deed goes unpunished. I think I did well enough that
they want you back.
Some residual work. So I'm not a big gambler, but Vegas is fun to people watch. So I'll go back anytime.
I think I'm going to like quit my business and just be your secretary.
Well, I don't need that, but you're always welcome to come on.
I don't know. You're hopping.
It's busy, yeah.
I bet Sherry's over there nodding her head like, yes, he does.
Yeah, she's working. She's working today. We're heading to Nashville again next week. And
You just went and saw who?
Well, we were in Nashville a week and a half ago, and she was working, and we went and took in some activities. And I flew from Vegas back to Houston last Friday, and Sherry met me there, and we went and saw the Eagles in concert.
Right.
Steely Dan open form for any music lovers. And 2 nights ago, we were at a Styx concert for the rodeo. Styx has their voices and high energy. And what do we have? We've got Blake Shelton next Friday and Hart right around the corner from that. The music schedule is filled up, so...
Yeah, I think you're now groupies, because I'm like, I heard these last year that you went to. So isn't it, if it's more than one, you're going towards groupie status.
Yeah, I'm probably a groupie. That's true.
Well, it's a lot of moving and changing and ever evolving, which kind of fits into what we're going to talk about today, right?
It's perfect segue, yeah.
We're getting
excited.
Good at
that. I'm excited for our guest today, because we just had a little bit of conversation before we stepped into the official podcast. And so when you say moving and changing,
well, she's on the move. And I'll tell you the backstory before we introduce her. So I sometimes get random emails, you know, and sometimes they're, you know, sometimes it's like spammy stuff, like I want to sell you something or other. And this one was like, hey, I saw your article in a magazine. And I'm like, which I thought was interesting because I just started writing for that magazine. So I was like, oh, people read it. Yay, me.
You have at least one devoted follower.
Small victories, right?
And so
anyway, so she's like, hey, I read your article. I'd love to talk to you. I said, sure. So we met, and then found out we had like all kinds of things in common. And honestly, we do keep in touch. And I was like, wow, you should come on our podcast because this fits in perfect. So let me introduce her, since everybody's like, what are you talking about? Anna Larson is the young lady that I met, and she is a military spouse transition expert and entrepreneur. So she used to be director of operations and marketing at a Fortune 500 company. And in 2017, she's like, meh, let's go do something else. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That sounds like us. Like, yeah, we're going to go do something else. And so she kind of followed her passion, I mean, wanting to focus on the military spouse community. And now she provides expert guidance, resources, and support for military spouses transitioning out of active duty, military life. I'm reading this, can you tell? And highlights opportunities for employment and entrepreneurship. But really what she had said was like, hey, like, the military guys and girls are transitioning out, and they're coming out, and they're doing their thing. And then we're over here like, we're transitioning too, and we got to deal with their hot mess. So we need
as
some
well as their own, as well as their own.
Yeah, it's a transition for all of us, right? We use the word institutionalized. That's the word she used. And that's not, I mean, maybe in some cases it means like mental health institutionalized, but in the actual term and the definition, we are all kind of indoctrinated to a certain lifestyle. And we are used to that lifestyle. Hell, I kept forgetting to make dental appointments when I first got out. Why? Because the dentist told me when I had to go see them, you know? So, Anna, welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show. That I love the introduction. It was perfect.
I suck at just reading it. I'm like, I'm impromptu. We'll spice it up a little bit.
No, I felt like it fit perfectly. We're all talking about hot messes and institutionalization. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I do.
Well, Anna says that because she's now seen me on screen. She now knows what like, the definition of hot mess means. Yeah,
exactly.
But, you know, it's funny because I'm both, right? So I was active duty, AGR, retired, but I was also a spouse. And at certain points, I was just the active duty person. Other points, I was just a spouse. And then many points, I was both. And I was joking with you guys saying, you know, there were days that I was like, it's way easier to be the military person than it is to be the spouse. You know, that is a huge transition. So Anna, I kind of want you to start, like, you know, you left your job. What led you to go, like, you know what? I got other things to do. Like, I gotta.
Well, when I originally left my job, it was because we were moving to Africa. The Army was sending us to Africa for a couple of years. And previously, I had been very fortunate in that I was working with a company that allowed me to have extended leaves of absence when we would move overseas. They wouldn't take me off their books. They just put me on leave. And so when we would move back into the States, they would re-up my contract at the same or higher pay rate and throw me into one of the new contracts they were working with. They were a defense contractor. So they just throw me into one of the contracts working on the marketing side of things. So I was very fortunate as a military spouse to have a long existing career. But when we left for Africa, I knew also that we were nearing the end of our time as an active duty family. We thought maybe Africa, one more duty station, and then retirement. We didn't figure a pandemic kind of in between that as well. Messed up some of those plans. But anyway, so when I left my job and when we got back from, I worked in Africa for the State Department. I actually ran the PEPFAR grants program there. Amazing experience. And then when we came back to, we moved to Fort Cavazos, what is now Fort Cavazos, Texas. And I started a small business just doing digital marketing because that's what I knew. That's what I loved. And that entrepreneurship led me to become very involved within the military spouse entrepreneurship community through AMSI. And that ultimately led, that plus the fact that we were transitioning out of the military at that point, led me to realize, hey, there is a massive gap in the space of military spouses, having a direction, guidance, resources, kind of a, or even just a hub of knowing what to do when this transition time comes and what's available for them. And so I decided I was going to fill that space. And that's kind of how that worked.
That's perfect. What can you tell the audience what AMSI is? Because that's unique.
Yes, AMSI is the Association of Military Spouse Entrepreneurs. So it's led by Moni Jefferson. She's fantastic. It's a free membership, or there's also a paid platform as well. And it just basically teaches military spouses, if you want to own your own business, here's the steps to do that. These are the things you need to know. And it's everything from setting up a business, like with structure, all the way through finances, marketing, pitching, you know, budgeting, all that kind of stuff. So it's a great organization.
That would have been something we should have done when we started our business, Jay.
Not how we did,
jump in both feet, start swimming our way out, right?
I'll hang on to that now, though, because I'll be able to carry that into the transition work, you know, that I do, Don.
That's exactly what my mind was going.
Hey, for your spouses, know this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great resource. And this is what I'm talking about, right? There's a lot of stuff out there, but nobody knows about it. They don't know where to find it. They don't know how to utilize it. They don't know if it's for them. And I just know maybe I'm a control freak or a type A person. I don't know. Maybe that's the problem. But I'm in my head, I think there is a better way. If we just put these resources in an easier way to access format, people will utilize them. It'll get, and everybody's transition is better. And that's the goal, right?
And I love that, right? I mean, you saw a need from your own experience. And so you've engaged a process, you're raising awareness now, you know, but what weighed on my spirit as I was listening to you say that is, I don't remember what comedian it was that always did, here's your sign, right? I mean, you could have a flashing neon sign along the roadway and somebody's still going to drive right by it and not get the message. But that doesn't mean we should play small and not do our diligence to try to bring it to people's awareness, right? So I love that that's what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think right now there's been a change in climate for military spouses. I mean, we're seeing some things happen politically that are changing on the employment front. And there's more notice being taken of what does the spouse need. And this is for retention and recruitment in the Department of Defense, just in general. Like, what do families, spouses, children, what do they need to help support a better experience all the way around, right? And I think that I'm jumping on that because I feel like it's going to just continue to grow. I'm hoping, like, fingers crossed, right, that movement continues to grow and people start to recognize even more that while we are not the active duty service member and certainly don't claim to have had those experiences, we do experience military life from a different perspective, and it does affect who we are and what we know and how we feel. And transitioning out is a scary process. It is not as easy. I focused so much on my service member, I completely forgot there was anything I needed to do for myself until the day he went to get his D-214. And then I was a disaster because I didn't know if I could go to the on-post library anymore. I mean, how ridiculous is that, right? There's 15 libraries or in the communities surrounding me, but I didn't know the answer to that question. And it was that whole sense of, I've lost a community. I don't know if I can go on post and access these resources anymore. Are these for me anymore? Who am I now if I'm not an active duty military spouse? And all of that process right there, what I realized once I started talking about it is, I was not just the one person experiencing this. Every military spouse that's transitioning that I have spoken with has those same feelings, fears, and kind of goes through that massive, I guess, transition crises, I guess is what we could call it. So what I'm just hoping is to make it just the tiniest little bit easier. So even if they drive by me at 90 miles per hour, looking at my sign and glance at it out of the corner of their eye, right? Even if they just see that it's there, I'm okay with that they know that there's something out there for them.
You You said something that like kind of clicked in my head. When you made the comment that the military, the DoD, is starting to recognize, and hopefully it continues to recognize the importance of the spouses. And there is a saying, the spouses are the backbone of the military, right? Like if it's crap at home, we're not able to go do our jobs effectively. And I think right now, because with everything, life goes through ebbs and flows right now, and the military recruitment is on the ebb right now. We ain't flowing, right? And so I remember my husband was deployed. I was pregnant with our first child. And one day he called me and he said, "Thank you." And I was like, "For?" And apparently, what was going on at the time, there are all these people that the spouses were calling and crying, and you've got to come home, and you got to come home, and this happened, that happened. None of them were Red Cross emergency. You know what I mean? Like your child is not doing well or something really bad like that. It was like, my mother is sick in the hospital and I don't know how to manage home and this. I can't do this without you. You have to come home. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying that people are getting sent home for this, right? Like, I can't do my job because my wife or my partner or whoever is falling apart. And it got so significant that when I actually went into preterm labor and I had our son 3 weeks early, my husband missed his birth because they couldn't let him go. And so I say it because it behooves the DoD to invest in these spouses and to give them resources. And as they're transitioning out, to help that, like you're doing, because when it all goes to crap and everybody comes out, guess what people hear? And they're hearing this now, and it's kind of sad. You're hearing people say, "I wouldn't tell my child to go into the military. This is not the military that I knew." I mean, I've heard that many times. I know that's not 100%, but it's louder than than it has been in the past. And so if you give people bad experiences and they have limited resources and they were struggling, I mean, the DoD is not doing themselves any good, right? So I hope that that continues and people like you that are stepping in, seeing this, going, "Hey, we can help you do this better." And in your experience, you said you had a really rough transition. So I'm kind of curious, like, what was the biggest challenges for you in your transition?
Well, I think for me, what so I mentioned before, I like to be organized, right? I mean, this is how we were able to have a military life without a lot of drama in it. My spouse would deploy, and we had a system in place. What do we do, right? And I knew what all the bank accounts, and I was the one in charge of all the bills, and I took care of all the household stuff because we knew at any point in time he was gone or at training or whatever. So when we transitioned, what happened? First of all, COVID-19 was a big factor in it, and it kind of turned into one of those where we were here at Fort Cavazos, and my spouse hadn't been able to go into work for months. He'd get up at 5:30 a.m. and call in and say, "Here I am," and they'd say, "Stay home. Today, we can't use you. There's no space for you. We don't want you at work." And so he grew out a beard and stopped putting on his boots in the morning. And we went from, "Here's our plan," to, "Hey, I think I'm done." And he was past 20 years. And I'm looking at him like, "Nope, that's not our plan. We have a whole nother duty station to go to. We are not retiring in Texas. That is not the plan." And anyway, so ultimately, it was the plan. It was what was best for him, and it was what was best ultimately for his career, even because I think he'd lost that whole pandemic thing. He just kind of lost that desire to be getting up in the morning and putting his boots on at that point anymore. And with that switch, not only did I struggle to find any support and understanding what transition looked like, because I thought we had a whole nother duty station. So I didn't start 3 years out or even 2 years out. I started at the 1 year mark when he said, "I'm going to submit my retirement paperwork." And And tap wasn't available. I mean, not for a spouse. I was told to watch some videos online. There was no space available for me. And part of that may have been the pandemic. And I think part of it is just talking to other spouses. Sometimes there's just not space available because that's when we're invited. So I didn't even understand the process of what it was going to take to get out of the military. And so often our role as the military spouse is to support what the service member is trying to do. And if we can't understand what that means, if we don't know what that is, and what I learned in transition is a lot of times that giant checklist that they get when they're getting ready to transition, it is a checklist and they're just trying to check it off. They're not actually learning or investing in a lot of the opportunities or information that's being provided to them. Some of it might be because they already know it or they feel like they already know it. Some of it is just like, it's 15 minutes before lunch, and this finance class is going to run long. If I ask a question, I just want this over with. Whatever that might be. But in that process, I think there's a lot of opportunity lost to really support that transition as a family and making it a better experience. So one of my first goals is like, for me, was if I don't understand it, then I can't possibly know how to support my service member through it. And that was kind of that first step for me, was realizing I don't even know what this takes for the service member to go. And I'm not really invited to sit at the tables where I can learn what that looks like, and find out the information for myself so I can help them through that process, and remind him when things might be due or what's important. Not that he can't do it on his own. I mean, ultimately he did, right? And at some point on that day, when your DD 214 is done, you're done. It doesn't matter if your checklist is really finished or not. Goodbye. They're sending you packing.
It's a fire hose too. That's some of it. When I transitioned, it was during COVID, and I actually did do tap in person, but that checklist, like you're just getting it done. And the finance part, now I don't know what it is now, but I know then you just listed out your bills, like your costs, right? And where you were at. And they just took a look at it. And unless they saw something grossly like, holy cow, they didn't say anything to me. They're just like, fill this out. And I'm like, okay. And there was no discussion about it. There was really nothing that made me stop and think. It was just this fire hose of information. Now, there was good stuff in there. I'm not going to knock it, but it's very hard. One, when you're a year out, it's very hard to try to conceptualize what you're going to need at that time. Because a year, even though we should be planning, it still feels like a long way away. You know what I mean? So I think it would have been better if it wasn't horrible. There was really good stuff in it, but I think it would have been better if there was a little more hard and fast tasks at, because we're military, right? Tell me what to do, I'll do it. So like at 12 months, these three things need to be done. At, 8 months, these three things need to be done. Like if it was a little more systematic, I guess. But you get this week of like, and then they're like, oh, and that checklist needs to be filled out, and they don't give you good direction, and then there's something that's connected. I don't know. I can tell you that the actual administrative part, you're so frustrated with it that you're just like, whatever, just how do I fill this out? How do I sign it? I don't even know what I signed. I mean, I probably signed my children away. I have no idea.
So I just have to jump in with kind of a funny story. I did take one of the TAP online classes. I took one of the finance ones, and it goes through the whole like create a 5-year budget. So I walked out to my spouse and I said, "Did you create a 5-year budget in TAP in your TAP class?" Because he did also attend in person. He's like, "I don't know." I'm like, "Wait,
Right.
you don't know if you did this or you did do it, you just don't remember what you put on it." And he's like, "Yeah, I have no idea if I created that budget." I'm like, and in my head, I just started laughing. I just said, "Wow, I mean, if you're creating a 5-year budget for your family and you have no input from your spouse in this process, really, how valuable is this information for you ultimately?" It's not.
It's
And
not
that's where I
relevant.
think, yeah, it becomes irrelevant unless you're taking it home and sharing it. And that's not happening. And it's not just the TAP. I'm not also not knocking on TAP because I do think it is an important resource for transitioning service members. But on the military spouse side, I didn't even know they were doing a 5-year budget plan. But what that did do when I found that out was say to him, maybe we should sit down and work out a 5-year budget plan. What does that look like for us? Because if you're working, I mean, it started those conversations that we need to have that military families or spouses aren't having with their service member because they're fire hosed with all of these other tasks. So we're not even having those simple conversations. It's like at the end of the day, okay, where do we want to live? And are you getting a job? And those are the two main things. And that's all we're focused on. Oh. And then you have a down over a library card.
And in the meantime, right. And in the meantime, work is not stopping. Like it's literally going. Actually, there's somebody I'm working with right now and part of my business, which is writing. And I giggled because he said to me, I'm going to have the first go done by October. And this was like, I don't know, like 6 months ago, maybe 4 months ago. And I was like, that's aggressive. He's like, no, like I'm into this writing. And I'm like, okay. I said, well, just remember you're like also in the throes of retiring. And as somebody that's done that, I'm just giving you a heads up, but I'm not against having a goal. I said, I'll check in with you when we get to October, just because I knew what was going to happen. And so I did. And his sentence was, you were right. Because I didn't know it was that intense. Oh, and my work decided to go on fire. Like it was like all these alarms were going off. And he was a commander. And of course, all the bells and whistles were going off. This is happening. That's happening. Oh, and we decided to build a house where we're going to be moving and, right? And so I was like, yeah. I said, I didn't want to put out your flame, no pun intended. But I said, you know, there's a lot more going on than you realize. And then the closer you get, when you start hitting 8 months, 6 months, it gets realer. And then you're planning more. And then you're like, holy cow, you know? So there's a lot going on, but we don't necessarily feel it until we start getting squeezed closer to it, you know? Jay doesn't remember because he's really old and he hasn't, like, he doesn't even remember. I think they just opened the door and pushed him out and said, have a good day, right?
Yeah. So it's been 14 years roughly since I retired. But Anna, I can appreciate all that you're saying, right? I agree with it. And for our listeners, maybe you don't know, right? This thing called TAP, Transition Assistance Program, is a congressionally mandated program. Every man and woman who serves in the United States military, regardless of service, regardless of time spent, whether it's a year or 30 plus year career, they mandate they must go through TAP. And TAP is a, you know, iterative process. There is a finance component. There's a medical component to it. And then in between there, they kind of loosely talk about some skills you need to have in order to be successful for whatever's next. Resume writing, interview skills, etc. So, Anna, I lead an executive transition assistance program for the local Air Force Command here in the San Antonio area. And we get all services that come through. Donna's kind enough often to be in the room and to bring her voice, and we work with them, and spouses are invited to that. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, with about, I don't know, 6 or 7 of these under my belt since I began leading the program, I think maybe I've had 6 spouses total attend. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to think about that. Executive Transition Assistance is a voluntary program in addition to TAP. So they raise their hand if they're in the rank, the grade of 06 and above, or E9s. They're allowed to sign up for this extra piece, right? Maybe 6 to 7 spouses have attended out of all these sessions. So, you know, there is still a lot more to do. I will tell you, the ones that have been in the room, Anna, to your point, they very much understand how life-changing this is for everyone. And you hit on identity earlier, and I'm just going to say this, and then I turn to you. The military member's identity, you know, for me, 22 years, for Donna, roughly about the same, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it's a complete change to anything we've known in our adult working life. Equally true, though, if particularly Anna, I think you said you worked, had a career, and were able to be gainfully employed for most of that. But in some cases, the spouses aren't working at all. So, man, there's a lot of anxiousness that comes from our pay is going to be reduced by X, and you're going to need to find a job, or I'm going to need to find a job. We're going to need to find a job. How are we going to make the ends meet? Spouses in the room help the entire process because we're each picking up different things, and together we bring that together. So just kind of turning back to you, Anna, what do you think it is, maybe when there are opportunities afforded, what's holding spouses back from actually taking advantage of those things?
I can tell you what I'm hearing from the spouses. The marketing, the conversations, they are directed toward a service member's perspective.
I got it.
And so while we're invited to sit at the table, it doesn't always feel like a very comfortable place to sit because we don't have those same shared experiences. We haven't deployed in that sense, right? We've stayed home and we've seen a deployment from a different perspective. And I think a lot of spouses think, well, my service member is going to get a lot out of this, but it's not really for me. And so, part of what I'm doing right now, I am creating a military spouse transition program.
Love it.
It's a one day, it's, 8 hours, it's kind of an all-in-one that has some offshoot opportunities if you want to dig deeper in certain areas, right? But it kind of talks about like the areas that for a military spouse, like what are we dealing with specifically? It's not going to go over what your service member has to do necessarily because you're going to get that fire hose with the checklists and the,
Whether you like
hey,
it or
help.
not.
Yes, exactly. They're going to be like, help me dig out those seven, tough boxes. I have to turn in all my gear tomorrow, right? And it's all got to be washed, by the way, True story. Yeah.
What
Anyway.
will this look like, Anna? As you're, I know you said you're in the process of creating, and
I
in an
am.
8-hour day, one day opportunity to continue on. Is this an online? Is it
It's
a
we're gonna
self-paced? Is it, go ahead.
yeah it actually so the pilot program is being funded through SpouseLink, which is a subsidiary of AFMA, which is the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. And we're going to pilot it here at Fort Cavazos with a one day in person, and then we're going to also try an online virtual because we
I
want to
love it.
kind of get some feedback to see is this what a military spouse truly wants and needs as they're going through that transition process. And it covers everything from like their personal transition. One of the things that we find is that often our identity is so wrapped up in our service members' identity as a service member that we've kind of don't have a space of our own to say, this is who I am, and to be really self-aware about kind of what our strengths are and what we bring to the table and what we offer outside of being a military spouse. That's a big piece of it. So we're talking about that. We're talking about those financial readiness pieces. Do you want to work? Do you need to work? What does that look like? And what resources are available for you? Also the family budgeting, what the difference is, the fact that taxes are going to be different. The pay scale, when you look at your military pay scale and compare it to civilian pay scale, they are not the same. And people don't know that, right? I mean, we don't know that. If you've been doing this for 20 years, you're not checking that every year to see how it's, what the differences are that are happening. So things like that we're going to cover. And then also just family and relationships. Transition is a time of extreme stress. And I see a lot of relationships breaking apart and falling apart because now all of a sudden you have two people that are used to living a certain lifestyle. And now, for whatever reason, maybe the service member chooses not to work and they're home all the time. Also true story,
That piece, Anna, that piece right there, I was about to say, if the military member is in a career field that is gone a lot, and now all of a sudden they're in the living room every day, right? It's like, I don't have my private space anymore.
What it's like, hey, you need to find something else to do.
We would hear that in ETAP. They're like, so are you getting a job? Or even some of the people that come speak, they're like, well, I wasn't going to, But then my wife said I was going to.
Yeah, this is exactly what we've heard. That's true.
And we're like, oh, gotcha.
Part of that, if you think about it from the spouse perspective again, though, like we're terrified our service member is going to lose that sense of purpose.
Yep.
I mean, if they're home all the time doing nothing, are they depressed? Are they lonely? Are they sad? We worry about this stuff.
Or happy, like, finally, I don't have yet.
And then you can't get them to do anything.
It might be that. They might be a serial project starter and they just want to be left alone for the next 20 years. I mean, and that might be the case. But if we're, I think we just, we don't start those conversations enough and we don't start them early enough. So if I know my spouse wants to stay home and not work, then let's plan out what that looks like for our families so that when that happens, I'm not frustrated with you every day. We're not fighting every day. The kids aren't freaking out at thinking we're going to get divorced because we can't get along, you know?
That's so true. And one more quick thing, not to silence what you're bringing here too, is sort of, you know, leave Donna's voice out of this. I hear this often though. If the military member was the primary source of income, and maybe the spouse, and it could be male or lady, right? That was at home taking care of the family. I've had so many that I've talked to that have said, Jay, I don't even know how to respond to that on a resume. Now I have a way that I teach them to account for that time, right? That they were out of the workforce. Is your initiative and the things you're doing, I would think that would be a big part to help spouses with too.
It absolutely is. I mean, one of the first questions we ask, so I mean, there's so many working pieces that I'm throwing at you guys, but one of the things that is coming with the launch of my website is the Military Spouse Transition Guide, right? No. So it is our guide, our workbook, our checklist for the things we need to be thinking about. And the first two pages are 2 to 4+ years out. You need to start asking these questions. And one of the very first ones is, do I want to work? Do I want to start my own business? And if I do, then what's the next step in that? And what does that look like? And so, yes, I think that there are so many resources out there for military spouses to take advantage of. Some of them are only available when you're active duty. Okay. And as a transitioning spouse, we forget that part of it. Or they say you have 1 year from your transition to access these resources. I don't know about you guys. Yeah, I don't know if you remember from 14 years ago, but that 1 year flew by and like kept smacking me in the face back and forth between extra VA appointments and trying to figure out where we were living. And, you know, the first vacation we took in, you know, 10 years that wasn't stopped because of something or other, you know, that year goes by so quickly that to try and think that you're going to be able to focus on the training and the this and the that resource that is gives you 365 days, it's not reasonable. It's not reality driven. And so yes, I am searching out resources and trying to identify like when can you utilize these things. One of the MilSpouse jobs, they're a partner of Vet Jobs if you're not familiar with them, but I've been working with them and they are fantastic. I mean, it's everything from career counseling all the way down the road to now let's use our internal network to find you the job in the career you want. You've got the training now, your resume looks good. You know, you've decided what direction you want to go. So it's kind of like there is a little bit of handholding that has to happen when you have a spouse that has been so long out of the workforce. I mean, I know when I stopped working, I hadn't looked for a job for a long time. And I thought when we came back from Africa, I thought, do I want to start my own business or do I want to go back to work? Mm. And the process of actually looking for a job felt really overwhelming. Entrepreneurship actually seemed like a much easier path for me.
I agree, but I work more.
Yes. I mean, I laugh at that decision now, right? But yeah, like finding, and if you are on LinkedIn at all and looking at kind of that employment world for the military community, both spouses and veterans, it's messy and hard and long and difficult.
What is your, like, do you see a difference between the spouses of service members that are separating versus retiring, and I don't mean medically. It could be medically if it's a really low percentage, but essentially people that are leaving the military without a retirement pension. So the young airmen, first term, second term, I say airmen, but young service members, first term, second term, they're like, we're done. Where, you know, hopefully they're taking advantage of the blended retirement and the 401k and the matching and stuff like that. But it's not enough to live off of, right?
Yeah.
So are you seeing a difference in how you have to approach them versus how you have to approach the spouse of the 20, 22, 25 year retired person?
Yeah, there definitely is a difference. My focus right now is on the retiring transitioning.
Yeah.
However, that next piece, both med boarding is going to be another part of it. And then also that ETSing or separation of service, you know, prior to any kind of retirement will definitely be another piece. On the job front, it's not really all that different unless you're looking at, I just want a job for 5 years because now I can go do something and we're not tied to the military. Versus, you know, you have the 25-year-old military spouse that has 3 children under the age of 5. How are they supposed to really find a job to work, right? And navigate that. And those are those kinds of questions where hopefully you know if you're going to separate from the service a little bit sooner. Then, like, you know, you can start talking about what that might look like a couple of years out. Like, yeah, I'm not going to re-up. I'm not going to renegotiate a contract with the DOD. Hopefully that's happening, but not always. Or they don't talk about it. The service member just says, hey, I decided I'm not re-upping and we're out in 6 months. That's a panic moment for a spouse. Like, what? Do you have a job? Like, that's the first question they're going to ask.
There's one part that I'm aware of, Anna. You might be aware of more, Donna. You also, there's one part that is mandated the spouse has to be at, and it's the survivor benefit.
Yeah, SBP.
Piece, yep. Right? The military member, he or she cannot make a determination on what happens with SBP moving forward without their spouse being present in that decision. Right? So I don't know. Are there any other things that you can think of, Anna, where it's mandated? Because I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking it ought to it should be mandated that the spouses are required to attend TAP with the military member.
So unfortunately that never worked, right? Because they'd be like, we don't work for the DOD.
That's
that would come out of unless you're paying me a wage that.
Yeah, day. Yeah, I hear you.
But there is no other thing that I am aware of where the spouse is required to sign off on or have any part in what is happening with the service member's transition. Mm-hmm. I will say this though, Jay, if you are married or have a partner of some kind and you're transitioning and you're not involving them in that process, your transition is going to be extra difficult.
I agree. Yes.
And when you can work as that joint effort and supporting each other in both directions, because the spouse needs support the same way the service member does. There's things that we're going to have stress out about that we've been taking care of that the service member isn't even thinking about because it's not on their checklist. It's not part of their daily life, right?
Yeah, and I'll even say shame on them, Anna. Shame on them for not including, you know, they shouldn't make that decision in a vacuum. To exclude their spouse from the whole process.
Well, I'm interested. I need to do more research on this clearly, but some part of me feels like the service member at that point is just trying to get their checklist done. Yeah. And it's not about really creating an experience for anyone. It's just trying to get it done and over with, and then they'll figure it out.
That's a true
statement. That's kind of the attitude right now. It's not an experience that both of us are supposed to have.
It's because TAP is only a week. Now you can take it many times. I mean, you can take it every month if you want to, 2 years out, you know, but it's 5 days. If you're not looking for a job, you don't have to go to all of it, I believe. ETAP is a option. You're not required to be at that. And you're doing it in the middle of your job. And trust me, they're not thrilled that you're gone. And I know, because when I was retiring out, and even during COVID, I'm still hopping between my work and trying to ETAP, trying to figure out how to retire remotely. And all that was going on. And my last project I was working on got submitted the day before I went on terminal leave. Like, I was working right up to terminal leave to that point. And I've heard in some cases, you know, they're still calling them on terminal leave. Like, hey, I got a question. Hey, I got a question, you know? So it's not, you are not given this sacred time. It's kind of like they have SkillBridge, right? And people, you know, they want to go do that. And a lot of times it doesn't get approved because work needs them. It's amazing how important we become as we're going out the door. I'm all right. Like, I'm going to be gone in like 3 months. You can't spare me now. And my boss was like, oh, no, I can't let you do SkillBridge. I'm sorry. You're just, all of a sudden I became very important, right? We're in a skinny times. Commanders are less apt to want to let them go do stuff. And so when they're trying to transition out, and especially when you're dealing with retirement, that means you're dealing with senior enlisted and command and senior officers, and they're in command positions often. They're still highly being sought after. They're not given the time. There is no time. So it is exactly what you said. Get the damn checklist done, turn the keys in to whoever to get that damn thing signed off, and I'll think about it later. Yeah. It's jarring.
And it is. And even what you're describing, Donna, mm-hmm. it's not something that service member generally shares with their spouse.
No, those just doing it.
They're having it work, right? Because they're just like, I just got to get this done. It's normal for them. It's not. And so we're frustrated on the home front side, right? And like, you have to make that VA appointment. You have to do this. You have to do that, right? And they're like, I don't have the time to do any of that right now.
Here's one for you, Anna and Donna. When I'm running my checklist, right, I decline my dental exam because I'm good. I just had an exam maybe 4 months earlier. I'm feeling good, so I decline it. No idea that by declining my final dental exam, it would preclude me from receiving any kind of dental care from the government after I retired. True story. You know, true story. You want to talk about a family impact? Because, well, now I've got to go out and find dental insurance. Wait, but I thought, nope, because I declined my last exam and no one told me, right? Because I'm just rushing and things done.
Oh, but we don't get dental anyway, unless you are, like, the VA doesn't cover you unless you're 100%. So, I mean, like, you have to go find it. And it'll hold you up more. Things like that, right? As a spouse, I'm like, I gotta go find dental. That was super fun to navigate. Like, eyes and dental. And they gave, like, all these plans and we're comparing. And that alone was stressful. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, I can imagine that after the fact experience of learning that information, now that you're transitioned, was probably really frustrating, you know, and what it does is it diminishes that feeling of elation of, hey, I've served this amazing career and I'm appreciated and they thanked me for my service. Oh, but we tricked you. You're not getting dental care. You know?
Yeah, somebody could have said something, right? They mm-hmm. didn't. I'm not laying it at anyone else's feet. Ultimately, it was my doing. But Anna, that's where I just want to express appreciation to you and anyone that you have working with you, right? Because again, you saw a need. You're now moving to fill that need. You're already assisting. You're filling the gap. I do think that dotting I's, crossing T's, right? For those listening, for those of us that are here talking right now on this episode, we serve our country. There's some things promised on the beginning. You know, I jokingly kind of say this today, oh, free medical for life. Oh, they must not have expected me to live past 40. Right? I'm not going to compare it to, you know, what people are paying in civilian life who have never served, because I know the costs are much higher. But yeah, and I just want to say thank you, because I love that there's this initiative that you and others are pulling together to be able to recognize our spouses also deserve to have resources available to help them in whatever is coming next. And I'll go one step further, and I bet you're thinking about this. If not, I'm gonna give you this and say maybe start spinning on this one. Now they've got voluntary recall to active duty, right?
Fine.
So somebody hit me up the other day, Jay, you thinking about it? And I said, man, I'm
Nope.
a patriot, always will be a patriot. I'll never say never, but I don't see that happening.
Definitely not rushing to the front.
But what nuances inside of that, Anna,
Yeah.
if somebody who served now makes a decision to go back, and again, now the spouse is thrown back into this world again, right?
Yes, yeah. That there were, I'm sure that there would be a lot of conflict,
In
I
the
think,
home.
in the home for whether
Yeah.
or not that decision was going to be a thumbs up or a thumbs down, you know?
Yeah,
Oh,
true.
yeah.
I just keep sending Donna's name in. I keep saying, I've got someone for you. I've got someone.
It's
She's
not
ready.
mine. It's Brian's. Like they're
Yeah.
like his AFSC is hot commodity.
Oh,
And I'm
yeah.
all like, don't even think of it.
Yeah.
No.
Anna, what else can you share? Like, how can people who are listening to this episode support you in your mission?
So the first thing that we can do is if you visit my website, it is hopefully going to be up by March 1st. I don't know when this is going to air out, right? But it
Yeah.
is diligently being worked on. But join my newsletter. And that there is an option if you go to millspousetransition.com.
Yes.
And there's an option to just jump on the newsletter right there. And what that does is it's just going to tell you the things that are coming out. And then this really is about sharing the word, passing the information along, starting the conversations. If you, I have a space in that area, that male spouse transition zone. It is, I'm active duty, you know, thinking about getting out. I'm in the middle of transition and I am all over the place, a mess. I'm after transition and I'm still a mess, or I don't have this down quite yet. And then I have a spot for I am supporting people who are going through transition, right? And
That's really good.
there's that space where everybody kind of falls under we want service members and their families to have a successful transition out of active duty life. We want that to happen. It's good for everyone. And I mean, we can throw out some scary numbers about suicide rates and depression and that deadly gap time frame and the things that happen to families that don't manage that kind of trauma and transition well, that change well. And it's not to scare anyone. The reason we keep talking about it is because it's actually really truly happening and way more frequently than it should. And some very simple steps of just starting conversations earlier. Making sure the resources are known and available, having clear directives and opportunities. Those little tiny steps can make a huge difference in someone's transition. So jump on my newsletter right now. You can always connect with me on LinkedIn. I am big on LinkedIn. I'm there all the time. Every day you'll find me on LinkedIn,
I
chitter
see
chatter.
her.
Yeah. That's kind of my space. There's also an Instagram and a Facebook page, right? Less of my space, however, there is information going out. And then I do regular live streams and podcasts about topics. So I just had one about buying, building, and renovating with the VA loan when you're going through transition. I had another one a little bit earlier about loneliness. And I actually have a good one coming up pretty darn soon about career and looking for a job and what that might look like. So that would be what I would ask for right now. You know, just pass the word, become a supporter, jump on that newsletter, and connect with me because the more voices saying the same thing, the better it's going to be for everyone, service member and spouse.
That's really good.
I think, well, I'll save my stuff at the end. Well, it's a good part to start winding it down. So, Jay, what are your Well, actually, let me back up. Jenna, what are your last thoughts first? Like, do you have any last things that you want to impart to the audience that you want them to take away?
Yeah, I think I just would like to say, if you're a service member, or if whether you're transitioned or not, if you're a service member and you think your spouse might benefit from something like this, have them reach out to me directly. If you're a military spouse that's struggling, reach out to me. Mm-hmm. I promise you, you are not alone. We all feel that certain way at some point. And so I just want you to know, it is not, you're not unique in that sense. Like, it's not, don't feel alone. Like, you're the only person going through that kind of thing, because you're the only one talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, Anna, I look forward to staying in touch. Honestly, I'm going to tell you, I'll be a champion for you. These future ETAPs, as long as they'll have me, I'm going to make sure I put your information in front of the group, whether their spouse is in the room or not. I'm going to encourage them to take that information back to their spouses, to get linked up with you. I think that is critically important. So know that that I'll be an advocate. I know Donna already is and will continue to be also. We hope you stay in touch. You let us know how things are going. I'll get out there and connect with you on LinkedIn and make sure that I'm staying abreast of things you're doing to again share with others in my life. But again, just know you're appreciated. And to the veterans that are out there, maybe you're still serving right now. Again, maybe, I love that, Anna, you said there are these, you know, declarations I guess they can make. I'm, you know, getting close to making that, or I'm in the middle of, or I just want to be supportive of somebody who is in a transitional state. I pulled up a quote. It's from John Kennedy. John F. Kennedy said, change is the law of life. And those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future. There's no time like now to start preparing for a future that may still be years out, but connecting with people like Anna, who very much want to see you succeed in the next stage of the journey, whenever that comes for you, now's the time. So I hope people do connect with your newsletter and look for that website, Anna, but thanks for taking time with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you letting me just share my message to one more space. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you started to allude to where my mind was going, which is, you know, on the veteran side, we're always talking about building community, right? And you're right. Their story, albeit it is their story, they will find as they connect with people, it's not unique. Doesn't mean they themselves are not unique. The story is not unique, because we're all going through it at some point, and we're all struggling somewhere. It's never perfect. And, you know, I always have my theory is that we all have to crash and burn a little bit so we can all kind of rise like the phoenix, right? If we don't do that, we can't shed that to go on to other things. So that transition is very important to actually kind of go through and embrace, but we don't have to do it alone. Not when we have resources like you have out there for everybody, and the community is there to actually help them rise like the phoenix, you know? So I greatly appreciate it. I'm glad you reached out and we all got in touch. I think this is awesome. I know that actually we will see Anna more, because, you know, we're plugging the Coming Home Well radio stream and we nabbed her. And so she's putting some of her podcasts, and you'll see them on the radio stream.
Oh, that's awesome. That's mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yep.
Welcome to the family.
Yep.
Thank you.
She's joining our cult. So, all right. So let's wrap this up. Or as Jay always says, let's land the plane here. We are Air Force, us too, so do it appropriately. But from all of us here at our parent podcast, Coming Home Well, and for us at Beyond the Frontline, we are very appreciative of you. We do have, I keep plugging, the radio stream. It's CHW Radio. You can actually get that as an app, or you can go to cominghomewell.com and you can look right on their front page and you can hit play and you can hear it right there too. We want you guys to share, like, communicate with us. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't. We really want to know. So from all of us here to all of you guys, we hope you have an awesome week.
Bye for now, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Frontline, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review.